The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
On last week's show, James came out with a crazy yet accurate statement of it's not done till it's done, but it's done. And this week that will finally become official as Celtic put the seal on the Scottish Premiership title after a brilliant first season for Ange Postecoglou and his men. This is episode 68 of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino, and this week I'm joined by Miff and Paddy to cover all things Celtic. Miff, it's not yet official, but it might as well be. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very good, Tino. Thank you. Hello. Hello, Paddy. Hello, guys. Yes, it's especially the nature of the victory on Saturday, the way that the team responded and then completely dominated the game, the bitter tears of Nielsen and Gordon making it even sweeter. And also, just another thing just that I thought was quite strange was after the weekend's games, Celtic actually came out with a better goal difference because they came out with a positive. They actually went a goal up and nobody really talked about that, which I thought was strange given that it was down to goal difference.
We've extended our lead at the top of the table.
We did, in effect, extend our lead, but nobody wants to talk about that. But maybe that's me just being a wee paranoid Celtic fan. No, I feel great. I feel great. It was good to watch. You know, first 15 minutes, very, very sticky. The team, let's be honest with them, the team aren't winners. You know, a lot of the guys that have come in aren't. But they're going to go over the line in some style, I think.
Yeah. Paddy, as Miff says, a pretty solid performance overall against Hearts, and we're now just about there.
Yeah, it was a solid game for us on Saturday. I thought that, I was saying to some of the guys after, I think the goal from them helped us. I think it helped the full stadium, spurred them on for the rest of the game. I think a few people were worried it was going to be quite flat on Saturday after kind of witnessing what had happened last week with the 1-1 draw, and then obviously that lot getting to the final. But I just think it was but I thought it was one of those ones that it gave us something just to go and show that why we have went on and we're going to confirm winning this league this week. It was a really, really strong performance, and I thought that once they found their feet after going a goal behind on Saturday, some really, really good play from players that actually haven't even been in the team quite a lot lately. That stand out for me, one of the players was David Turnbull, which I was really happy about. So yeah, it was a very good performance from us.
You have given quite a lot of stick.
I know. Listen, I'll always hold my hands up.
We'll go on to Matt O'Reilly as well, who he gave stick to last week. But we'll get to all that.
Listen, we could do a special on him.
Maybe we will. As Paddy says, Miff, though, we've not got off to the best start, conceding after, I think, 3 minutes. But actually, I think, to an extent, we then started to find our feet. What I thought was interesting was Scottish Football Writers Player of the Year, Craig Gordon, time-wasting from the fifth minute of the game.
And also, subsequently, bemoaning a correct decision.
Yeah.
And his manager backing that up, like, I don't know if it was the right decision, but come on, lads.
How can you call the right decision?
That's not how it works.
Wild.
I seen someone on Twitter last week describing Craig Gordon when he kicks, it's like he's wearing a pair of skinny fit Levi jeans, and I just can't get the thought out of my head.
he's one of those guys when he's in your team, he's likeable. Well, unless he's throwing the ball at attackers' feet, but he's likeable because he makes big saves at big times. When he's playing against you, he's horrible.
I'd have to say something on Craig Gordon. I was in a bit of a debate after the game last week. We're talking about good goalkeepers for Celtic over like the dominant generation that we've had in the last, 20 odd year. Someone made the point that he's let us down in so many big games as well.
Yep.
And a few, the chat that he's the best goalkeeper in Scotland and stuff, I never understood that about Craig Gordon. I think he's a very, very good shot stopper. I don't think he offers much else.
Listen, he was excellent at his time at Celtic, but yeah, I'm far away from the romantic notion that we let him go too soon.
Yeah.
What a player is. It's different as well when you're in goals for Hearts than for Celtic. You know, for long spells you've got zero to do. Yeah. Your concentration needs to be good, your kicking needs to be good, your handling coming out for crosses, and they're not his strength. Shot stopping is good, and that's highlighted at Hearts where he faces a lot of shots.
I mean, even in routine games at Celtic Park, he made some amazing saves. I really like Gordon, I'll be honest, I really liked him. But after the final, when he volleyed the ball, Edward. I just couldn't go that at all. We're the only nation that seen that as a disrespectful act. I mean, the tone in the press after that was an absolute disgrace.
Exactly.
As was Gordon's antics. As far as I'm, can you imagine if Ederson had went and get the ball and volleyed it back at Benzema for getting Benninkid, what would have happened to him? You know, that just for me, absolute nonsense. But anyway, I know we're digressing slightly, and that doesn't normally happen when I'm on. So I would say that Gordon has become thoroughly unlikable. Well, he's a jambo, I suppose, but he has become thoroughly unlikable, and his bitching and moaning after the game, it just kind of cemented that for me.
He's kind of got to bear in mind, we gave him an opportunity to get back into football. You know, we took a risk with that, a huge risk. It paid off to an extent. Well, obviously, some like trophy-leading seasons for him, absolutely. But like I say, there was always a mistake in him. And, you know, I just think that's why we look above and see what we can do better. And that,
who did he throw the ball to? Was it Leipzig?
I think it might have been Poulsen, actually.
Aye, Poulsen.
Anyway, I tell you what, we've spent about 2 minutes more on Craig Gordon than planned.
But also the other one there.
Inter Milan.
The Inter Milan one. Aye. Jeez. Right, anyway, that's us.
Let's kick on.
Sorry, Tony.
In terms of Hearts in general, so there's an irony, Paddy, that we obviously lost our opening league game of the season 2-1 at Tynecastle, and then effectively we won the league by beating them 4-1 there at the weekend. Again, it was Jota who's turned the game around for us. He's done particularly well, I think, for the equaliser. Really good run, and then set up Maeda, and then he's also nodded it down for Kyogo to score the second. How do you think he done?
Yeah, he's been very, very strong the past few games. I thought the game against Rangers, he definitely one of our best players, and just continued that, and that sense of I wouldn't say relief, but just joy of playing so well on Saturday, getting that lap of honour. You've seen how happy he was at the end of the game as well. It means an awful lot to him. So I thought he was outstanding on Saturday. They really couldn't get close to him.
Yeah.
Preferred him out on the left.
I like when he switches up. Mm-hmm. You know, he does it frequently. Him and Maeda will just at a certain, I don't know if Ange gives an order how it comes into play, but at certain times, blink and you miss it, and all of a sudden Jota pops up on the left. What do you think, Miff? A worthy man of the match?
I would have said Taylor. I thought Taylor, that's probably as good a game as I thought he was. Excellent.
Have you seen the wee clip where Callum McGregor's walking around the stadium? You can see it in Celtic's official tweet.
You, then me, then Jota.
Callum McGregor points to himself, points to Taylor, says, I thought it'd have been you, then me, then Jota. And it looks like he's talking about man of the match.
I thought Taylor was exceptional. But again, you could have probably given it to McGregor. Mm-hmm. You could have probably given it, well, they'd go to Jota, but no real arguments for me. Jota is playing like a man who is full of confidence. Probably the only game that's a blip really would be the semi-final. I'd say he just didn't really show his form that day, although he wasn't the only one.
No.
The team seemed somewhat emotionally drained on that day for some reason, but I think we can forgive them that because they have fought many battles for us over the course of this season, and they've come out on top in the vast majority of them. Jota is definitely that type of quality that we need. The amount of times he comes up with assists at big moments. People talk about goals, but he seems to be able to, he's got that creative spark at a moment when you need it. He took the initiative. I didn't think it was a foul on Sibic, personally. I thought McGregor actually burrowed in and got to the ball, which caused Sibic to fall over, the ball being against his foot. That was how I saw it anyway. But to then go up the park, there's still a lot of work to do. It's a brilliant goal, and I'm delighted for Maeda as well, because it's good to see him getting a reward for the endless work that he does.
Yeah, no doubt. Paddy, when they spoke to Jota after the game, they asked him the kind of inevitable question if he'd be looking to sign on permanently for the club, and he had a wee glint in his eye, didn't he? Have you seen it?
I've not seen that, Tino, no, sorry, but I mean, I'm very hopeful. Do you want to ask this to Miff then?
Miff, they spoke to Jota after the game and they asked him the inevitable question, would he sign on? And he had a wee glint in his eye. What do you think?
This was the one bit of research I did do.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. I thought the opposite.
What's the opposite? A glint?
But I thought it was a kind of mischievous, look, mate, don't ask me, because I'm away. That's what I thought.
That's great.
I think you'll stay.
I'm no expert in body language, though, as my years at Motherwell Point will tell you. So that was my thoughts.
Yeah, I think he'll stay as well, Paddy. We mentioned a wee bit earlier on there, David Turnbull. We also touched on Matt O'Reilly. So Rio Hatate was finally rested on Saturday, and I think it's, you know, it's been a wee bit overdue. Turnbull stepped back in. That was his first start since the League Cup final back in December, and he was paired alongside Matt O'Reilly. So how do you think they've done, Paddy?
Yeah, for David Turnbull, I thought it took him probably after a half hour mark. He was more comfortable in the ball, realised then he had the turn on any player kind of coming up in behind him. And some of his passing, some of his vision, I thought was tremendous to see. I've spoken on the show, obviously, can he make the step up? Does he get up to the pace of play that we play at? And, you know, based on that, I'm hopeful. I really am. I thought it was a very, very good performance from him. Obviously, I said my stuff about Matt O'Reilly last week on the show. I'm still juries out with him, and the reason I'm saying that is I'm talking about, does he unlock European defences? I don't know yet. I still have to see. And I'm happy to be proven wrong in that, no problem.
What is your suspicion that he doesn't unlock European defences? So obviously he's not had much to go on. He's had the Bodo game and that's about it.
Yeah.
In terms of his experience in Europe. Do you think he's got the potential to do so, or do you think he's just not looking like it at the moment?
I do. I just don't know if he's going to be up to that pace that we require. And I've also said the same about Turnbull as well. We speak about players being quick enough to unleash the likes of Maeda, Kyogo in the back, for any through balls or anything of that sort. And the amount of missed opportunities sometimes, and it can come with dilly-dallying on the ball. We need players, if we're going to compete at that level, we need players that are going to be quick enough to see the pass. I think there's only, I'd say there's maybe only Callum McGregor, potentially Hatate fully fit, and maybe Rogic that can do that. I'd still say Rogic is the better of the two, without a doubt.
Matt, I don't think there's any doubt that technically Turnbull and O'Reilly are very, very good ball players, but to Paddy's point, do you think they've got the dynamism, the energy to kick on and make us a better team?
I would say it's just all about how quickly you move the ball, and they've got the ability to do it. Why they don't do it as often, I don't know, because both O'Reilly and Turnbull seem to quite often go sideways or turn back rather than play a forward ball for whatever reason. O'Reilly, slightly different. I think he's made a big step up in his career.
True.
So I think there's still the scope there, and it's hard to judge Turnbull on this season because it's been so interrupted.
Yeah.
It bodes quite well, I think, for him and also for us that he's come back and been thrust right back into contention straight away and then been trusted by starting spot over Rogic, you know, so he must be showing up well. He will be another that will benefit for a full pre-season under Ange. I think it's just quite exciting if you get Hatate, O'Reilly, Maeda all in, up to speed. Giakoumakis, hopefully with an injury-free kind of period as well, because he's been quite stop-start as well. Kyogo being the other obvious one. If you get all them in, get them all fit, get a good pre-season into them, I just think next season's really, really exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not at Paddy though, I'm not ready to go, it's 25 points ahead.
Sorry.
Come on, mate. To your point though, Miff, about O'Reilly and Turnbull, I agree. At times the forward pass seems on, and they check out and they go out the other side. Maybe that's a deliberate ploy. Maybe Angie's asked him to do it. Or maybe there's just something holding them back. Bravery's not the right word. I'm not questioning their bravery as players. But why do you think they're maybe not, you know, trying that difficult pass?
Well, if you're a Celtic player, you know, there's generally a hierarchy within it. People that are experienced players, somebody like McGregor, for example, would probably have more license to try things, I would imagine, than necessarily somebody like Turnbull or O'Reilly. But it's how they're coached, it's how, what they're encouraged to do, it's also what role they play within the system. But we have all made comment, and it's through going to the games, because you see it when you sit at the games, you see that movement, especially for Kyogo and Maeda coming in off the wings.
Yeah.
Kyogo more at the start of the season, because when he was fit, those kind of bent runs that he would make round to keep his cell inside, and he would constantly be running past the last defender, not getting the ball. You'd see remonstrating, then getting back, doing it again and again. Maeda, I have to say, I think has done very similar. I don't know why they wouldn't do it. But to me, again, football's very easily played for the stands. It looks to us there's an obvious pass on, but if you've got a low block sitting in front of you, you might not necessarily always see it. So I get that. And it's a confidence thing. It's a maturity thing. All those things. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're as good looking as Matt Riley, you can do what you want.
That's fair enough.
That's true. Paddy, I wonder if it's, you know, aside from that insight from Miff there, that it's just as simple as the fact that Matt O'Reilly's 21 and David Turnbull's 22. Now, when you're Matt O'Reilly and you're playing with MK Dons, it matters less if you try a through ball and it doesn't come off. It's different when you're at 60,000 capacity Celtic Park. And the same with David Turnbull. You can try these things at Motherwell. You're maybe a wee bit less inclined to do so at Celtic. And I think I'm not saying they're not playing with freedom, because I think Angie's the kind of coach that will encourage freedom, particularly in the final third. But I think as they move forward and as they progress, you know, they've got loads of potential and loads of growth left in them. I think as they move forward into next season beyond, you'll see them maybe trying these passes that they're not quite doing at the moment.
Which I'm all for, absolutely. I want to see them progress. I want these guys to do well for us. I never say anything against it. I can definitely see the ability in both players. But what I'm talking about is, do we need McGregor coming into that position alongside one of them, or Rogic playing alongside a lot more, to the sense that we maybe look at someone going to cover McGregor's position? I think maybe they need someone with a bit more experience to be playing alongside someone that is just going to show them, like, this is what it's about, play this earlier pass. Now, do we go and look for someone in the summer like that to come in and be that box-to-box midfielder that we kind of, you know, we want that position filled, or do we bring McGregor up there and bring someone in to cover his position? I don't know. I'd love to see the two of them kick on. I just, at this team, I don't think you get a lot of time for that, though. We play so many games. We play at a high tempo every single week, and we are playing to win the league and every competition we're in, bar Europe possibly, right? Mm-hmm. So do you get the time to do that? I don't think you do, and that's my worry.
Yeah, and I think we might find out Angie's a nice guy. We all love him, but I think you might see a ruthless side to him in the summer, because, listen, so many players have done so much for him this season, but I think some might still get cut.
Yeah.
And I include guys like Greg Taylor, you know, for example, and, you know, I know we kid on about him. He's been brilliant this season. That's right.
You're right.
But is he the level? Is he the level if you're looking to kick on?
Yeah.
You know, and I think some guys, I don't think anyone should rest in the laurels at Celtic, and I think you're only as good as your last game.
Agreed.
And I think Ange might make some ruthless calls and replace some guys, or at least provide serious competition for some guys in the summer.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, we need to strive for excellence. I don't see why we should compromise on that. It's interesting, the whole midfield. I mean, McCarthy's not really made an impact. Beaton looks like he's leaving. Does that mean that Ange just confident enough with Iragucci to potentially play that position and move McGregor on? There are a few questions around that, I would say, fair to say. And then you've still got Rogic in there as well. I mean, we're fairly well covered, but it's just, I think we've felt at times the midfield balance has been a bit off. Mm-hmm. I think if you spoke to, you know, 100 Celtic fans, there would be various combinations as to who they're preferred three would be in there. I just think Turnbull coming back and coming back showing a wee bit about him, it bodes really, really well. A lot of people had him maybe not written off, but I think they expected him to leave actually in January had they not been injured. A lot of talk about West Ham at the time and stuff like that. I'm just quite glad to see him back. It's good to see him back fighting for his place and showing a bit of spark.
Yeah, what we'll do, I think we'll have plenty of time in the coming weeks to discuss what Ange may and may not do over the summer, so we'll get to all of that. Just in terms of wrapping up the chat on Hearts from the weekend, so if the game has been wrapped up by Giakoumakis with the fourth goal, really tidy finish after good work by James Forrest. You know, he's come in and done pretty well, I would say, overall. But you can see just how much it means to Giakoumakis to get his goal.
Absolutely. And again, the way he's contributed to the team, at a time when we really needed him to, and up to a point where, you know, to come back for after missing that penalty against Livingston, you know, people would have assumed your Celtic career's in the dirt after that. But no, he's been brilliant, and I thought when he came on against Rangers it was good, and I thought he was brilliant when he came on against Hearts as well. Just gives that physical presence. You can see that defenders, centre halves just absolutely hate him because he's just a big pest. It's brilliant. Yeah. And his finish, what he's shown is just those one touch finishes. I mean, for the compilation DVD that will get brought out inevitably in 18 months' time, it's going to be really, really sharp. But no, I'm delighted for him. I'm delighted for him because he's been such a great addition to the squad, and he's different. He's different to what we've got.
Yeah, Paddy, as Miff says, Jack Amakis has made a huge contribution, but what we do have in this Celtic side at the moment, there's a real mix of goals and assists right across the board. So seen just some kind of details of that across the weekend. So Kyogo, 18 goals, 6 assists. Abada, 15 goals, 13 assists. That is phenomenal for a 20-year-old winger, just new to the club. Jack Amakis himself, 14 goals, 1 assist. Doesn't like passing it so much, but likes scoring goals. Jota, 12 goals, 16 assists. Turnbull, 9 goals, 7 assists. Maeda, 8 and 4. Rodic, 6 and 11. And Tony Ralston chipping in with 5 goals and 9 assists. It's a really healthy position for the team to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just the style that we're playing. It's the epiphany, sorry, the epitome of Ange Ball. It really is. It's incredible to watch. We're seeing goals and assists coming from all angles, and it's just, that's the freedom that we definitely have. You know, that they are comfortable, and when teams kind of sit in, it's difficult for us to break them down. But when you get a team that maybe tries to come out and play against us, everyone's pitching in to pick them off. It's been a joy to watch this season. The football's been lovely. It's been one of the best I've seen.
Absolutely. And to your point about the end of season DVD, that was the 130th goal of the season. So yeah, it might be a double CD. Is that what we're looking at?
Take that.
Is that the way it's shaping up? But yeah, it's great to see. And there's a real spread of goals and assists across the board. Miff, you touched on the fact that near beat on might soon become far beat on. The suggestion is that he's going to move on in the summer. He's had 9 years at Celtic. He signed for $1 million from Ashdod back in summer 2013. He's won 17 trophies, played over 270 games. And I was surprised when I looked this up. He's actually played a part in 37 games this season. So he's done his job at Celtic. He's played his part, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And I think after the Michelin game, if he'd never played for Celtic again, a lot of fans would have been happy. I think it says a lot about Ange that he was able to kind of keep him going and make him a useful part of the squad, because I don't think a lot has seen a way back for him after that. So reckless was his behaviour. Beaton's a strange one. Other than maybe an 18 month period, he's never really been regarded as a starter in all those years. And the reason he's been released is probably because there's not got to be any qualifiers for him to play centre half in next year.
Nah. Which became the kind of cliche every season. You know, what's this season if Near Beaton's not starting the qualifiers at centre half? I'd mentioned there, Paddy, though, he's played over 270 games. Mm-hmm. Of the 37 games he's been involved in this season, he started 19 of them, which is actually more than you would maybe realise as well. So I think whilst he would certainly go with everyone's best wishes, and he's played his part across a number of seasons, including this one, I think it's maybe just the right time for all parties to make that move.
It should have happened a long time ago, in my opinion, when you're beat on. I've said that many a time. I can't fault what he's given us this season. He's came in and shored some games up for us. But again, just someone who has been reckless in some tackles and cost us a lot of games with red cards here or there. A player just simply, for me, not good enough for our level. And, you know, I wish him all the best, but I'm glad it's looking like it's coming to an end. That sounds quite...
Got a book, Paddy, for the testimonial committee.
Aye, this was meant to be absolutely quite a nice, fluffy, all the best, Near, good luck to you and your family, thanks everyone, but you're just want, get him out.
9 years, he's done well.
Aye. Do you know, if I remember rightly, did he get sent off in his debut against Ajax? Did he come
the
on
Champions
as a
League,
sub?
Aye.
He basically got red carded within about 13 minutes, something like that. That should have maybe told us what we needed to know at the time. Matt, will he go with your best wishes?
Yes, he will.
You can win the committee.
I think he's been a good servant. I think it's quite telling that various different managers have used him, you know, like Sir Rodgers and Ange being the most notable because they've been the most successful. But yeah, listen, it's strange to think that he's been at the club so long and been for the most part a bit part player. Some games he looks absolutely serene, but you know that the nonsense is just a mere matter of minutes away. However, best of luck in here, and thank you for everything. Genuinely, thank you for everything.
Fair enough. Mixed opinions there across the board. And similar-ish news, Scott Brown also confirmed this week that he's decided to hang up the boots so that he can fully focus on his ambition of becoming a manager in his own right. Just a reminder, in terms of Bruni's numbers, so 620 appearances for Celtic, one of only 7 players ever to make over 600 appearances for the club. He scored 46 goals, picked up 22 trophies, 20 of them as captain. Phenomenal. 10 leagues, 6 Scottish Cups, 6 League Cups, and 55 caps for Scotland. He done all right, didn't he?
Legend.
Is that the Aberdeen player?
Former.
Brown, listen, what can you say? He is just, I was watching that video, one of the guy, was it the guy Adam Lynch? Mm-hmm. Done a video for him, and it's just phenomenal. If you're on Twitter, go and check it out. It's just brilliant. And it's just how much an absolute bam he is. It's just great. It's just like when he's on your side, he's in your team. I was actually, was at a wedding at the weekend, and one of the guys is an Aberdeen fan. And I hadn't seen him in a few, just with COVID and that, I hadn't seen him in a few years. And when we were talking about the football, I said, so what about Bruni then? Did he convert? He's like, oh, aye. Straight away, just like, you know, and they hated him.
Aye.
He, just as much as Rangers fans hated him. They hated him. But that's just the power of his personality. You see him on your side. You see him putting that effort in, noising the other team up. It's just a joy to watch, man. I just love him. I love him. And that, to think of the period that he's presided over as captain, it's just, it will never be repeated.
He's also played his part in getting Aberdeen a couple of draws against Rangers this season, including his diving header at Ibrox. So aside from his 620 games, he was still doing a wee bit of, what's the word, like freelance work for Celtic this season. Paddy, it'll be interesting to see what his next move is. So you know, you presume it's, you know, somewhere coaching, if not, you know, a manager in his own right so soon. Would you like to see him back at the club one day in some capacity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's offered a lot to this team, and you know what role that would be, we don't know. It's too early to say manager. We don't know what he's going to do in that effect. I think that he's been huge for us though, and he's a great character in the dressing room. The amount of people that have paid respect to him over the weekend, wishing him all the best in his career, and you're talking like. Yeah, I've seen the likes of Dembele take time to congratulate him, Edward, Benkovic came out and said it's like one of the best captains, stuff like that. Just everyone's paying respect to him, and he was huge for us. The amount of times, you know, there was difficult games at Ibrox, and Scott Brown was the type of player that if we were maybe a goal behind or we hadn't kind of started, it would be a challenge or it would be a block or something like that would just kick everyone into gear, because he might be receiving. I remember once he got a yellow card at Ibrox and just started going through the rest of the teammates. We were 1-0 down and we came back and won 2-1. You know, just he takes a game with the scruff of the neck. And a player, I'm not saying we would take Scott Brown back, I don't think he's up to the pace for Celtic anymore, sadly. But my God, you would love another. Absolutely, great player.
Yeah, it's been interesting just the contrast between him and Callum McGregor's styles, mm-hmm, as captains, but there's no doubt that they were both, you know, they've both been very effective, but yeah. Bruin has done, you know, wonders for Celtic, and we wish him all the best with whatever his next move will be. Some other important news broke last week, Paddy, and I know you've got some information here on it, but Celtic have appointed Mark Lowell as head of first team scouting and recruitment. Lowell is, of course, son of former CEO Peter Lowell, and joined Celtic from City Football Group, where he was their head of scouting and recruitment. He spent 10 years at the City Group, so he's obviously operated in an elite environment, and he'll arrive at the club with an array of contacts and a very wide network. What do you feel generally about the appointment?
You just said everything I was going to say.
Right, got you.
I'm kidding.
Just move on.
Just move on. I think it's one that will obviously divide opinion, mainly just down to who his father is. But I think that if you look at it, it's been a wish of Ange to get him here. Apparently, when Ange was joining last summer, he had spoke about trying to get Mark Lowell in place then. But because of his commitments with the City Group at that point, it wasn't feasible then. It's an Ange move, and that for me is enough to make me think let's give this a chance. I'm not worried about anything to do with the Peter Lowell thing. I think that if you're bringing someone with this guy's experience in, someone that's worked with a huge group such as the City Group, and he's worked with every club, I think, within the City Group as well. Mm-hmm. He's worked with obviously the likes of New York City FC, Yokohama, and he's worked with obviously Manchester City. He's helped Celtic a lot, the likes of Paddy Roberts coming in, Dedrick Boyata,
Jason Dreyer.
Yeah, they've all came through Mark Lowell. So the links that we could have through this guy is going to be good. And he's he's not going to be our chief scout. He's going to be the head of all of our scouts. And I just think he's going to be basically in charge of where we are looking at, what markets we are looking at. And I think it's a great move from Celtic.
Yeah. If only we had some handy quotes from Ange to summarise just what you've said there, Paddy.
Hold on a moment.
So, yeah, as you say, Ange was, you know, particularly excited about the move, and he spoke during the week. He said, "I was very keen for Mark to join the club, and clearly I'm delighted that he's accepted this important role and that we've been able to bring him to Celtic. Mark is someone who I worked closely with throughout my 4 years at Marinos, through which time we developed great trust and an excellent working relationship. He knows the way I like to work, the way my teams play, and the particular player profile which this requires." And I think I'm totally on board with what Paddy says there. If it's good enough for Ange, it's good enough for me.
Case closed. I don't really even more to add. That quote says a lot. You know, people can get their knickers in a twist about various different things in life, and often perception becomes more important than reality. The perception here is his second name's Lawwell, he's related to Peter Lawwell. Oh no, it must be a bad thing. You know, the debate's out on Peter Lawwell, but not all Peter Lawwell did for Celtic was bad, as we covered on this podcast on his exit. However, in this particular instance, that quote for Ange covers everything for me, and I didn't mean to hit my mic there.
That's okay. People have said that, you know, Paddy, if his name was anything but Lawwell, you'd be raving at how we've managed to make this appointment. He's clearly a Celtic fan. You know, he's got the club's best interest at heart, and I think it's a brilliant piece of business.
How's Fergal Harkin getting him to here?
Aye, he's taken a job in Belgium. I think it's Standard Liège. I just seen it today, coincidentally. So Fergal Harkin is not on our radar.
He's been waiting all this time. He's been waiting all this time.
I wasn't a setup either.
There you go. But yeah, as I say, I think, you know, just looking at the bare facts of the matter, well, Lawwell, 10 years experience, working with these elite clubs, this elite group, working in that environment, the network, the contacts, everything about it's got to be good.
Yeah, definitely. I was reading John McGinley's article on it, and he'd said that he reckons it's actually Mark Lawwell was one of the main players in bringing Ange over as well, so...
I think there's no doubt. So Ange obviously mentioned there that he's worked with Mark Lawwell during his 4 years at Yokohama Marinos, and it kind of tells you exactly where the Ange appointment came from. There was obviously the Don McKay chat and different things. There's no doubt at some point Mark Lawwell said, "Dad, check this guy out. We need to have a look." And whether it's through conversations with Peter Lawwell and whatever on the board, Ange has been on the radar. And yeah, you know, we've discussed at length the Eddie Howe thing. He was in the wings should Eddie Howe not work out, and they've moved swiftly to appoint him. So now's not the day for it, but credit to people for A, identifying Ange, and then making the move to bring him in, and look how that's all worked out. Moving on from that, so obviously we can now officially wrap up the title this midweek, with any sort of positive result at Tannadice, where we face Dundee United on Wednesday. We've won a couple of titles at Tannadice over the years, including the title for Tommy back in 2008. Paddy, are you looking forward to officially getting over the line?
Yeah, it's going to be great. We've worked very, very hard this season, and it's been a joy to watch. We've all kind of been on the support for this team from the get-go. We've known how hard the season was going to be. You know, not all of us thought that we were going to even win this league. We all thought, you know, good challenge. That would be enough. That was what a lot of us were saying at the beginning of the season. And to go on and do it this way, it's been great. We thoroughly deserve it. It's just incredible just to go and take what is ours back straight away as well, and we are still at the first stage, as he says. So
yeah,
love it.
There was obviously the possibility, had Rangers not taken 3 points against Dundee United on Sunday there, that Celtic would have won the league without even having to play their fixture, but it's better to do it on the park, isn't it?
Yeah, I loved Angie's response to Kenny McIntyre, the wee bitter git, but it's absolutely brilliant that if we go and do it in front of our fans at Tannadice, you know, although I've seen apparently Dundee United have cancelled a lot of tickets for the Dundee United end. So
put a statement out.
Yeah, I'd always find a way, but...
Have you found a way?
No.
No joy so far. Miff, we're 30 games unbeaten in the league. Is it going to be 31 after Wednesday?
Yes, I expect so. Although I'm quite up for just playing the B team and winning the goal difference.
Just going for that.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be fun for sport.
Yeah.
It's been a long season though, but this is where Ange and the players really get the reward for all their efforts. As I say, I'm sure Ange and the players would have taken it any which way they could have won the league, and as fans, certainly at the start of the year, you would have. But to go there, they've got the opportunity now to go up to Tanner Rice and put on a display for the fans, and that'll be a really exciting way to do it.
No, absolutely, and like you say, there's a bit of heritage there in regards to titles being won at Tanner Rice. 2008 was particularly wild from memory, or lack of memory. But, you know, these are the exact positions that I believe Ange will hammer home to the players about creating history, destiny being in their own hands, it being down to them. You know, this for him, this is his mantra coming to life. It's the players' belief in his methods being justified, that they're going to reap the rewards for that. And it's been amazing to see the way the team's knitted together. You can see that they are a really, really effective, cohesive working unit. I think the games against Rangers being kind of condensed into a 3-4 week period probably haven't been helpful, because it's made them become attritional, and that takes away from the way that we like to play our game. But even saying that, we've shown a stomach for the fight, because we've not been rolled over in any of the games. We've shown a bit of fight, and it's taking an extra time goal to beat us in one of the games. So going to Tanner Rice, you feel the team, you know, the shackles are off now, because you've that comeback win against Hearts, the manner in which they've done it. We didn't even touch on a couple of bizarre decisions that went against us. So it could have easily been by more. The atmosphere, Paddy, you touched on it, and I think that's a very, very important point, was the goal created an atmosphere in the stadium which was almost like a release, where the fans just kind of absolutely unconditionally went behind the team.
Supported.
Which may not have happened if it'd been 0-0 and got a bit edgy. So I thought that made a huge impact, and the players were almost liberated because of that. I think you'll see similar on Wednesday night. I think you'll see the players just with the handbrake off, just going for the jugular.
Yeah. In terms of team stuff, Paddy, I was thinking it through myself, whether Ange might, you know, bring a youngster in, maybe get a Dembele involved, but I don't think he will, and I don't think he should. I think the reward for all these players is game time.
Yeah.
At Tanner Rice, you know, there's no point in having guys who've contributed all season and not giving them that reward, and I think he'll stick by and large with the guys that have got us here.
Yeah, it's a rotational team, as we've seen all season. I think back to, like, I wonder what our first 15 odd games, our starting lineup looks like, and some of, like, the younger players that were given opportunities also used out of necessity as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that are there just now, like, no one can rest on their laurels, as you said earlier on, Tino, and I just think that they'll all want to play. No one wants to miss this one. I hope to see a good performance from Daizen Maeda on Wednesday. I think just before we've come on today, I've actually read it. He's looking like he said he wants to stay and continue on from the loan move. So that's great for us as well, because what a player, what a signing. And I just think he can only get better too. So, yeah, I think they'll all want to go for it on Wednesday. And I think, yeah, let's go and win it in style, as they say.
Yeah, on Maeda there, I'd have been amazed had it been anything but that decision from his point of view. And I think it's been such an exciting 3-4 months for him as well. He's come into a winning side, played his part in making sure that we kept winning. And I think he, like many others at MIF mentioned, will only going to get better. And it'll be good that he settles his future and can look forward to that. MIF as well, just talking about the players, you know, at Tanner Rice, there's been so many that have played their part this season, and I'm thinking of guys like Adam Montgomery and Owen Moffat.
Welsh.
Stephen Welsh as well.
Dane Murray.
Dane Murray. Who's picked up an injury, an ACL injury, unfortunately.
Has he?
Yeah. But there's so many guys. It'll be interesting. I'll find out for next show just how many players have played. But, you know, now we've got it to a core of, there's probably about 15 guys, 16 guys, give or take, that rotate. But early in the season, there was so many.
Is there anything on Juranovic? Is he out for the season?
I don't know. He was there certainly amongst the celebrations at the end the other day. He had the bubble jacket on and all that stuff. So we'll see. But listen, if he misses a couple of games, then so be it. He will be front and centre of those celebrations.
Did you see I don't know if you've seen the picture on Twitter. It just said football moves fast. It was McGregor celebrating his goal for Scotland and Juranovic in the background.
I seen that. Brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I did see that. So we'll see what plays out on Wednesday at Tanner Rice. But to Paddy's point, I hope and think the players will go and put on a show and we'll go over the line in some style.
They should make up a song about that.
You could give us a wee rendition if you like.
No, keep that for the special.
Save that for next week. But the real party will then take place at Celtic Park after Saturday's lunchtime kickoff against Motherwell. I think it's just going to be something really special. It'll be a great atmosphere in the air. It's brilliant to take it back to Celtic Park. Paddy, do you think we'll see Ryland officially present the cinched Scottish Premiership trophy to Callum McGregor?
I hope so. I hope he comes up. Absolutely cinched it. But I generally think as well, I hope our DJ hasn't peaked, because he played one more time on Saturday and it was perfect. Absolutely perfect for the lap of honour. It's great. Yeah. Brilliant.
Miff, these days should be absolutely savoured, shouldn't they? They only come along for Celtic fans 10 times every 11 years.
As it's Haley's comment material. I think that this is different. This is different. I think you could sense on the game on Saturday there is a undercurrent just waiting to come bursting out after the frustrations of last season and how unlikely success this season looked. Success this season would have been a close title running, but now we're at this end of it. I mean, can you just imagine that we weren't in the position we were in? It doesn't even bear thinking about. So, we will be eternally grateful to Ange for making this happen, and the players, of course, but would never ever have happened without him, because I don't think, other than maybe somebody like Sir Alex Ferguson, I don't think there's anybody with the charisma and the personality to take the weight that they did on their shoulders and carry it off. I think there's very, very few people in world football would have been able to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the atmosphere on Saturday there, Paddy, after Hearts, it was pretty celebratory, but you could see they were just holding something back. Those shackles will be all off and then some on Saturday coming. It's going to be a really special day.
Yeah, it will be a great day. Just the spirit between them all, even just on that lap of honour. You're spot on. They weren't letting everything out, but there was just that relaxed feel about it all. They knew the job was done. The slippers are on now, unless it goes into goal difference. But I just thought it was great just even watching Ange walking at the back of it all. He just knows.
Yeah.
We know.
I think as well that, there are only a few players in this side, aside from the existing Celtic players, the guys like Tom Rogic, Callum McGregor, Greg Taylor, but there's only a few players who have won leagues before. Juranovic has won leagues. I think Hatate's won leagues in Japan, and Joe Hart has won leagues with Man City. There's not many of that aside of this new crop of, 15 guys. And as I said jokingly there that, Celtic win the league 10 times every 11 years. As a pro footballer, you don't have that type of success. Some guys will never win a league, and some guys might only win it once. And they've got to savour these moments, haven't they?
Absolutely. And in the point of Taylor, it was the season that got stopped where he won his first title, so it'll be especially kind of memorable for him as well. The fact that you're going to be doing it out in the park with all the fans there as well. So it's just so important that psychology means so much in football, and it's these things you take forward with you when you then know that you're a winner. For me, this Celtic team has just been so enjoyable to watch. You could see bit by bit what the manager was trying to do, then you could see the players buying into it. The telling thing for me was just how much McGregor had bought in it. I think that was a key. That obviously drove the rest of the dressing room. Unfortunately, for different reasons, Rogic kind of was in and out through injury, Forrest in and out through injury. So the experienced players that had been there before weren't really there to help. Christian Edouard then left.
Yeah.
Ayer left.
Makes it even more remarkable.
It's remarkable. Uh-huh. That's exactly what I was just going to say. It's absolutely remarkable. The fact that 95% of signings have worked.
Aye.
Those things. And there was a lot of signings because of the nature of it. Hart being such a pivotal signing. Juranovic adding, that signing is an absolute steal. What a player. And then Ralston being like a new player, kicking on again. Mm-hmm. Taylor, kind of stepping up on all-known previous form for Celtic.
Yeah.
And most crucially, that settled centre-half pairing. With him and Hart giving us a foundation to go on and play the type of football that we've been playing.
Yeah, and it's all going to culminate in a very special day at Celtic Park on Saturday, so one that we can all look forward to. Interestingly, and certainly different from any other season, in recent times, there's now going to be a 7-week break from that game on Saturday against Motherwell before our pre-season tour. So Celtic also confirmed last week that we'll take in a pre-season tour of Austria in July. There'll be a couple of fixtures there still to be confirmed, and then we'll play, I think it's Norwich and Blackburn Rovers at Celtic Park in the weeks that follow. I don't know what they're going to do for 7 weeks. Ange will be busy. Him and Mark Lowell and the back team guys, I dare say the players might get a 2-3 week break. It's very interesting. Obviously, there's no international tournament with the World Cup being in November. But it'll be a very welcome break for the players because they've put so much into this. Obviously, Rio Hatate's come out recently and said that He's not just physically tired, he's emotionally tired. And you can pass that on to any number of the players that will be getting us over the line here on Saturday, because they've put so much into this season, and it's not just your physical exertions, it's the emotion and the psychological side of playing at Celtic and having to win week in, week out.
Well, I cannot imagine how draining it is, and we saw the negative part of that last season, because you could see some of our players visibly wilt under the pressure of, you know, chasing what was the big dream. I think it's really encouraging that Ariel Hatate's spoken out like that.
Yeah.
Albeit that it's he's not been able to kind of put that across to the Scottish press as such, but I think it's very, very important, and it's probably just as important for our own fans to remind themselves of that these are young men, you know, who have came to, specifically thinking of the new signings, a lot of them have came to a new country, mm-hmm. and in some cases probably learning a new language, and then have been thrust into this absolute madness that is Scottish football. Right. And that constant demand to be winning and for your performance levels to be absolute peak, you know, for the Japanese lads, they've come off the back of a season.
Yeah.
We're not a lot of breaks. Some of them are still playing international football. So I think it's important that the guys speak out and so that we as fans understand there is a mental side to this, there is an emotional side to this. Some of these guys might be here not with any family with them and all that as well. Yeah. So, you know, there's loads of different small component parts that make that up. And it does just give you that sobering reminder that these are human beings. Absolutely. Who are putting themselves under immense stress and pressure for our benefit. So really encouraging that Ariel Hatate spoke out, but also equally as encouraging that it seems that situation has been managed by our manager, yeah. who I think just completely gets the whole element of not only the physical, but the mental side of the game.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. And I think the fact that they're not just, the new guys that come in, they're not just 15 football players, there's 15 human beings with lives and families and homes and you know, life away from football. And I think that makes it all the more impressive that they've gelled in the way that they have done. And keeping in mind, you've also got the guys who were already here. They're welcoming new guys into their kind of inner sanctum, into their dressing room. And I just think you can see it. I've watched again just the Celtic put a 3.5 minute odd video out after Saturday. Mm-hmm. And the togetherness in that squad is unbelievable. They're all laughing and joking and mixing and just high fives everywhere, and it's very, very genuine, and it's great to see.
Well, I think it's huge, absolutely. I think that the team spirit is going to be massive for us, and we're talking about the 7 week break. Maeda has come out and said the same. He needs a rest. It's time to put the feet up for a bit. I just think that, you know, it's one of those ones. We've been so close together for this season. It's been such a not an emotional season, but it's just been draining for them in the sense of what was so important for them, and also not being backed by any form of media at all, no one giving them a chance this season to go on and do what they've done, is something special. And I think what they have in the changing room, what is still to be added to the changing room, they'll be so, so hungry to get back and get at it. And that's why I'm saying we'll be 20 points plus.
We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, a very welcome 7 week break. And there's no doubt that next season's plans are already well underway, but the players will be so energised by, you know, picking up the trophy on Saturday and then looking forward to everything that next season brings, including, you know, Champions League group stages guaranteed. Muff, we're on the home straight of a season that's been very long but also very enjoyable. What's your final thoughts as we start to wrap things up for this week?
Just can't wait for Wednesday. Can't wait. Just bring it on.
Quite simply.
That's it.
Fair enough. Paddy, we're just about there. How have you enjoyed the Ange journey so far?
Loving every minute of it. We never stop. Let's keep going.
Right on side with the season ticket campaign. This week, Celtic will wrap up their 10th title in the last 11 seasons, and in doing so will officially rubber stamp their position as the best team in the country. It's a title that seems pretty unrealistic when Ange first took the reins back in June, and it now begs the question, just how far can he take us over these next few seasons? Thanks to Miff and Paddy for joining me today, and thanks to you for continuing to support the Celtic Exchange. Help us spread the word by subscribing to the podcast and by sharing this episode far and wide with your Celtic supporting pals. It really goes a long way to helping us do what we do. But in the meantime, and as always, thanks for tuning in.